This is Krista Hayes reading to you from the June 24th edition of the County Chronicle. We'll begin with the first page stories. County approves solar farm by Jacob Hamm. After nearly 2-year process, Denver, Colorado-based Pivot Energy has been cleared to construct a solar farm in the northern part of Douglas County. The company first approached Douglas County in late 2024 about the proposed development. Since then, there have been several public hearings regarding the matter. The site will host a 5-megawatt solar panel farm located near Route 45 on County Road 1550 North that will span 60 acres of the 250-acre site. The lifespan of the project will be 20 years with the possibility of up to 2 extensions. The site will be barricaded with a fence on all 4 sides, with evergreen trees lining the northern portion near County Road 1550 North. Pivot Energy said it will work with local experts to determine which species of trees would work best with the local landscape. The developer pushed to only fence the northern property boundary of the property, but County Board required the project be fully fenced in per the county's ordinance. The fencing will sit back 50 feet from the roads bordering the property. The county said it will not be held liable if there are issues that arise from the project. The board added a condition to the project that Pivot Energy pays 100% of the decommissioning bond up front prior to construction. Project Development Execution Manager Merrill Reed assured the board that the company will pay entirely of the bond prior to the construction, which is typical of the company's practice. County Board Member Mary Appleby discussed other counties in the state taking solar developers to court regarding the health and welfare of neighbors or nearby residents. The Third Appellate Court in Illinois ruled in favor of the energy developers, saying that county and city governments cannot deny permits if the state and local ordinances are followed. However, the Fourth Appellate Court ruled in favor of the municipalities. The decisions are likely headed to the Illinois Supreme Court due to the conflicting rulings. The board ultimately approved the project in a 5-2 vote, with Dan Henry and Ed Carlton casting the 2 no votes. Board member Gary Luth spoke in support of the project before the vote. "I intend to vote for this, and I feel compelled to explain why. Number one, we haven't seen the opposition from the public the way we did with the wind farm, so that's somewhat comforting. I assume many of our constituents feel comfortable with this. Number two, the regulations, I think, are very good. They're as good as they can be from everything I've read to protect the landowner and the people of Douglas County. Number three, I happen to be a farm owner, and the right to do with your property as you wish is pretty inherent and pretty strong in the farm community," he said. After the meeting, Pivot said it has worked with Douglas County officials and planning staff for more than 3 years to create solar projects that comply with local regulations. "We've also worked with the neighbors, community partners, and other stakeholders to ensure that our project will be a good neighbor and provide positive presence in the county." Pivot said these projects will generate more than $750,000 in tax revenue for Douglas County over 20 years, while creating enough local electricity to power approximately 2,400 homes. Pivot will donate $50,000 to support local nonprofit organizations. "Our dual-use solar practices will use sheep grazing to create new opportunities for agriculture on the site while improving soil health." Pivot has been working in Illinois since 2017, developing over 20 solar projects that deliver American-made renewable energy and economic benefits to Illinois communities. "We look forward to continuing the relationships we developed in Douglas County as we build and operate this project." The next article is from the Tuscola School Board, "Extend Alexander's Contract by 2 Years," by Jacob Hamm. Superintendent of Tuscola School District Gary Alexander's contract has been extended for 2 years by the school board at their meeting Monday evening. The board unanimously voted to approve his contract extension along with the pay increase, with the exact dollar amount not specified. The meeting also saw the announcement that Alexander will be resigning from his position effective July 1, 2028, according to the meeting agenda. No action to discuss his replacement or beginning the search process to succeed him was discussed at Monday night's meeting. The board accepted his letter of resignation. The board also voted to authorize the final payments for the current fiscal year's budget, with most of the expenses being payroll of district employees. The district will be running a surplus in the upcoming fiscal year, except for the transportation budget, running a $272,000 deficit. The education portion of the budget received an extra $135,000 from the state. The board also voted to increase the fees for technology use, driver's education, and dual credit classes to $50 for the upcoming school year. Lunch fees went up by 10 cents compared to last year, which the federal government caps. The board also continued the practice of waiving general registration fee for parents in the district. Substitute teachers will also see a pay increase starting next year to $145 per day. The next article is from the Tuscola City Council. Bid under budget prompts more work by David Porter. Washington Street in Tuscola is about to get a $1 million makeover, and that's about $300,000 less than anticipated. On Monday night, the Tuscola City Council awarded a bid of $1,044,000 to Nico Asphalt for the project. On related votes, they approved a formal contract with Nico and a contract bond, but the document will be left unsigned at the urging of City Administrator Drew Hall so that additional work can be added to fill out the budget, which includes state bond funds, motor fuel tax funds. We're looking at a project at the post office, Hall said. He's also looking at adding a polymer component to the change order. Pricing additional work would be relatively simple, Hall indicated, since the bid is itemized. There may be some engineering work that will need to be done. He added that Nico's bid was $250,000 below the second best bid. The council also approved $7,500 in repairs to the windmill after recently renewing the maintenance contract. In response to questions from the council, Hall said the windmill is close to its life expectancy but generates quite a bit of electricity. He said it was well worth repairing it. It pays for itself. He added about $2,500 to the repair costs for a new computer. Alta Long, treasurer, said this will be the third computer installed for the windmill. Long also noted that the city's appropriations budget is now on the city's website and available for public view at City Hall. Hall previously noted that the appropriation budget is an inflated budget that sets legal spending limit and is not reflective of the city's operating budget. In the consent agenda, the council approved community building leases with alcohol for Mark Bodine, Nooner Family Benefit on June 28th, and Matthew Reese for wedding reception December 19th. Street closures were also approved for outdoor movie night June 26th, which will be at the Kleist Plaza next to community building this month instead of Festival Square. Next article, Arthur School Board Superintendent Search Advances. The Arthur CUSD No. 305 Board of Education moved forward with the search for district's next superintendent and approved its fiscal year 2026 amended budget during the June meeting. Vic Zimmerman and Tim Buss, representatives from the Illinois Association of School Boards, attended the meeting to review survey results and finalize the superintendent vacancy announcement. The stakeholder survey was accessed 265 times and completed by about 210 respondents. Survey results showed strong interest in candidates with budget and finance expertise, communication skills, and ability to work with the board, family, and community engagement, and experience developing district goals and a strategic plan. The board agreed that residency within the district would be required for the next superintendent. The salary range for the position was set at $110,000 to $150,000. Applications are expected to be accepted until September 28th, with interviews planned for October and a possible hiring decision in November or December. The board voted unanimously to approve the superintendent vacancy announcement. The amended budget had been on display for the required review period, with only minor changes made related to grant revenue and expenses. Following the budget hearing, the board approved the amended budget. As part of the consent agenda, the board accepted donations totaling $2,265. These included $25 from Tish Ferris for library books, $500 from the Booster Club to help with hotel costs for junior high track state, and $1,470 from Josh and Becky Ponder to Arthur Lovington Atwood Hammond Grade School for dedicated benches and basketball prizes for the Miss Ponder's 3-on-3 basketball tournament. In other business, the board approved fiscal year 2027 meeting dates and times to be held at the Atwood Hammond Grade School every month except for the March meeting to be held in Lovington. Members voted to increase substitute pay for the upcoming school year. Certified substitutes were paid $145 per day, while paraprofessional substitutes were paid $125 per day. The board also approved a commercial insurance renewal with K-Risk, which is expected to save the district a small amount of money this next school year. An intergovernmental agreement with the Village of Lovington was also approved for a new welcome sign at no cost to the district. Superintendent Cheek said the proposed sign will be an upgrade, and the agreement outlines maintenance responsibilities. The board also approved a $2,500 donation to the Atwood Park Development Fund, noting the district's use of the softball facilities and previous support for similar projects. Cheek also provided updates on district facilities. He said the district's website is up and running and will continue to be updated with photos and information. He also reported minor storm damage to fencing in Lovington and on Park District property near the football field. Repair quotes are being collected and Cheek has been in contact with the Arthur Park District. Cheek said the final bid package for the high school project has been accepted and was being reviewed and vetted. He told the board they will probably have to a special meeting because of the size of the bid package. Cheek reported 15 of the 17 bids came back competitive, and two that will most likely have to be excluded were centered around the roofing. He told the board he still feels good, great about that, about because the roof is going to be put on a 20-year roof with a 20-year warranty. All the bids that appear likely to be included will keep the project under budget. The superintendent's report. Cheek talked briefly about building the bricks of it, about building bricks available to the public, and had a conversation with CORE and Azel, the demo companies. They'll be putting out information once there's direction on what process will look like. A groundbreaking ceremony for the new high school was scheduled for June 18th with representatives from BLDD Architecture and CORE, along with the board administrators, staff, and community members. This is going to be a pretty historic moment in our community for students, staff, and district, Cheek said. Cheek thanked administrators, maintenance staff, summer help, and the board and the community for their work during the transition and preparation process. He told the board, "I know I've said before, to be frank, I'm not going to apologize for continuing to thank them because I think it's warranted. I don't think anybody has any concept of what our administration team, our maintenance crew, and our summer help have gone through to literally get one building, two buildings, three buildings ready to move and coordinate that move along with getting the staff coordinated. There was a lot of rowing in the same boat the same way that had to take place." He continued, "I'm also proud of our board, and I'm going to speak to this tomorrow because we've been through a lot together, and it was a little awkward for me to sit here tonight and listen to Vic talk about it," she commented. "I mean, obviously I'm excited about my next chapter, but I'm a little bittersweet. There's some great people, and this board's done a lot of good work, and I'm proud to sit here and say the decision that you all made is going to go beyond impacting now. The decision you made is going to be impacting our communities, our students, and our staff for years to come, and I'm proud of you for taking the courage to do that. And then our communities. I'm just proud of our communities for what they continue to do. We have a district that spans 252 square miles and has multiple communities." The board then entered closed session to discuss personnel matters. Personnel matters, new hires, hired Kayla Davis for paraprofessional AHGS, hired Danielle Davis as the head cheer coach, hired Jace Parsons as volunteer football coach, hired Drew Cotton as volunteer football coach, hired Connor Richardson as volunteer football coach, hired Nathan Clapp as volunteer football coach. Resignations and retirements. Accepted Sabrina Bettinger resignation from Color Guard Flags. Accepted Carissa Denny resignation as the secretary at AHGS. Accepted Victoria Sisney resignation as paraprofessional LGS. Accepted Stephanie Clark resignation as library paraprofessional at LGS. In the next article, Arthur Village Board approved new police radios by Ariana Cherry. The Arthur Village Board approved at the June 15th meeting the purchase of six upgraded portable radios for the police department in the amount of $55,700 over the next 7 years. The board discussed the importance of reliable communication for the department. The new Motorola N70 radios represent a significant improvement over the department's aging equipment and are needed to address ongoing communication challenges. The testing of alternative Kenwood radios failed to provide the needed performance improvements, prompting the department to move forward with the Motorola system instead. Because the purchase was delayed during testing, the village also lost part of its trade-in value on existing equipment, increasing the overall cost by approximately $2,000. It was noted the new handheld radios transmitted substantially higher power than the department's current portable units and could potentially be delivered before Arthur's annual fireworks celebration. Board members questioned warranty options and long-term maintenance costs before unanimously approving the purchase. Discussions of an optional extended service agreement was tabled pending additional information. Village employees, volunteers, and community members were praised for their assistance during the cleanup following the recent storm damage. Officials commended Public Works Director Grant Corum and his crew for their efforts while noting assistance from the fire department, township personnel, and mutual aid societies. Several trustees remarked on how quickly roads and public areas were cleared after the storm, with one board member noting that residents had commented positively on the cleanup efforts. The board also discussed the possibility of hosting a luncheon to recognize volunteers who assisted in the recovery. Other topics discussed and voted on approved a temporary sign request for the Arthur Fireworks display at the northeast corner of Vine Street and Illinois Route 133 through June 27th. Accepted the donation of property located at 406 West 4th Street to the Village of Arthur. Approved an ordinance establishing additional handicap parking spaces in portions in downtown area and discussed appropriate signage and accessibility. Approved an ordinance creating a new slow children at play Zone and 4th Street between Walnut and Beach Streets. Authorized up to $20,000 for cleanup work at the Village Lagoon property. Postponed action on a proposal to replace the blower building and the waste treatment plant to allow competitive bidding. Approved a $16,000 proposal for demolition of the structure at 406 West 4th Street, which was recently donated to the village. Heard updates on storm recovery efforts, including potential FEMA documentation should disaster declaration be issued, and discussed beginning the process of replacing an aging police squad car after occurring mechanical issues. And the last first page article, honoring the past while building for the future, groundbreaking on new LAAH High School. Students, staff, alumni, board members, and community supporters gathered last Thursday morning to witness the beginning of a new chapter in Arthur history as officials broke ground for the district's new Arthur Levington Atwood and Hammond High School. Superintendent Shannon Cheek opened the ceremony by recognizing the significance of the former high school building that stood at that site for more than 100 years. For more than 100 years, the previous building served as a cornerstone of education in our community, Cheek said. Within its walls, thousands of students learned, grew, competed, performed, and prepared for their futures. He noted that generations of families created lasting memories in the building through classrooms, athletic competitions, performances, graduations, and everyday school experiences. While saying goodbye to a building with such a rich life history is not easy, we recognize that the true legacy of a school was not found in its walls, Cheek said. It's found in its people, in the students, staff, families, and community members who've made this district what it is today. Cheek said the district is not leaving its history behind, but instead building upon it. As we stand here breaking ground, we're not leaving that legacy behind, he said. We're building upon it. The superintendent described the new high school as a facility designed to provide students with modern learning spaces, enhanced technology, improved safety features, and opportunities that will prepare them for college, careers, military service, and life beyond graduation. Today we honor the past, celebrate the future, and invest in the future, Cheek said. Cheek also thanked the Board of Education for making what he described as a difficult but necessary decision focused entirely on students. I would like to thank our Board of Education for the courage and dedication it demonstrated in making a decision that was completely based on what is best for the students, he said. The decision that you made will have a lasting positive impact on our teachers, students, and communities for many years to come. He also recognized former board members Christy Meckling and Susie Perkich, who were serving when the decision was made to pursue the construction of a new high school. Board President Beth Wiley followed by thanking the many people who helped move the project from concept to reality. Today has been a long time coming, Wiley said. We knew that today is the result of countless hours of conversations, meetings, planning, second-guessing, questioning, debating, compromise, and so much. She described the groundbreaking as an investment in the future of the district and praised Cheek for his leadership throughout the process. Despite the challenges, despite the critics, you kept moving us forward through it all, Wiley said. Your impact will be felt for generations to come. She then highlighted several features of the new facility, including a gymnasium seating approximately 1,100 spectators, 3 science laboratories, expanded agricultural and technical education spaces, a new greenhouse, additional parking, enhanced security features, maker spaces, collaborative learning areas, and expanded staff workspace. She also drew applause when mentioning a future many students and staff have anticipated for years, and of course, there will be air conditioning. President Wiley emphasized that the project extends beyond the physical building. Today, we are not just providing for the future of our students, but for our staff and our community as a whole, and for that, we are beyond proud, she said. Student Council President Brinley Moore represented the student body and spoke about what the new school means for the current and future Knights. Today, we're not just celebrating the construction of a new building, we're celebrating the future of our school district and the beginning of an exciting new chapter for every Knight who will come after us, Moore said. While acknowledging the importance of the school's history, Moore focused on the opportunities that lie ahead. The students of LAAH have incredible potential, she said. They deserve a school that matches that potential, a school that inspires them to dream boldly and give them the tools to turn those dreams into reality. Moore said the new building represents much more than classrooms and hallways. This new high school represents opportunity, she said. It represents classrooms built for innovation, spaces designed for collaboration, and facilities that will better equip students for the future. She added that the project stands as an important message to students. It sends a message to every student who walks through its doors. You matter, your dreams matter, and this community believes in your future, Moore said. Looking toward the future, Moore noted that generations of students will benefit from the decisions being made today. Years from now, students will walk these halls without realizing this very moment was when their future began, she said. They will compete, create, discover, and achieve things we can only imagine today. As shovels turned dirt and construction officials began, Cheek, Wiley, and Moore repeatedly returned to the common theme, honoring the district's proud history while preparing for the next century of educational excellence. Over 100 years ago, this community built a school that would serve generations of Knights, Moore said. Today, we have the privilege of doing the same. We're honoring our past, embracing our present, and building a future filled with possibility. And I cannot wait to see the incredible changes the future Knights will accomplish within these new walls. With new construction underway, district leaders said the new high school will stand as both a tribute to the past and a promise to future generations of ALAH students. We'll move now to the obituaries. William Robert Fleming, Bill, was received into the arms of the Lord and Savior June 18, 2026. He leaves behind a family he deeply loved, a church family he served and worshipped with, and an entire community of people he loved and worked with in hopes of keeping his hometown of Atwood a beautiful place to live and raise a family just like he did. Funeral services will be held Sunday, June 28th at 3 p.m. at his home church, First Baptist Church of Atwood, 231 North Illinois Street, Atwood. A time of visitation will be held Saturday, June 27th from 2 to 5 p.m. at the church. Burial will be at the Macville Cemetery, Atwood. Alberta Burt Bradford, 95 of Arthur, passed away peacefully at 7:15 a.m. on Friday, June 19th, 2026, while at home, surrounded by her loving family. Graveside service to celebrate Burt's life will be held at 2 p.m. Tuesday, June 23rd at the Arthur Cemetery. There will be no visitation. Graceland Fairlawn Funeral Home is assisting the family with arrangements. Rebecca Marie Schrock, 78 of Arthur, passed away at 4:10 p.m. on Saturday, June 20th, 2026 at HSHS St. John's Hospital in Springfield. Private funeral services were held on Monday, June 22nd at the Edwards Funeral Home. Burial was in the Arthur Cemetery. Mary Ellen Schrock, 76 of Arthur, passed away at 3:15 a.m. on Sunday, June 21st, 2026 at her residence. Funeral services will be held at 9 a.m. on Wednesday, June 24th at the HCK West Building, 1 mile south of Arthur. Bishop Larry R. Diener will officiate. Burial will be in the Miller Cemetery in rural Arcola. Visitation was held Monday, June 22nd and Tuesday, June 23rd at the HCK West Building. Edwards Funeral Home is assisting with arrangements. Edward E. Ed Gingrich, 88 of Arthur, passed away at 2:10 a.m. on Monday, June 22nd at Sullivan Healthcare and Senior Living Center. Funeral arrangements are incomplete at the Edwards Funeral Home. Marjorie A. Hawkins, 87 of Tuscola, passed away at 12:15 p.m. Tuesday, June 16, 2026 at Reflections Memory Care in Savoy. Funeral services were held Friday, June 19th at the Hilligosh Rader Funeral Home, Tuscola. Burial was in the Tuscola Township Cemetery, Tuscola. Visitation was held prior to the services at the funeral home. James L. Jim Hunt, 82 of Chatham, formerly of Girard in Tuscola, passed away on June 14, 2026 at his home. Cremation rites have been accorded. There will be a visitation at the Davis Anderson Funeral Home on Tuesday, June 23rd, 4 to 7 p.m. There will be no funeral. The next article, Golden Drizzle Popcorn Company opening on Vine Street in Arthur by Trudy Feyerheisen. Treva Miller is bringing something new to downtown Arthur this summer, where tanning and treats used to be, and it's a welcome treat, literally. In addition to keeping the historic ice cream and soda fountain operating, she's adding 25 flavors of gourmet popcorn prepared in-house. Treva was born and raised in Arthur and had been living in Indiana for several years until she moved back to be near family in the spring of 2024. She's experienced working in popcorn shops in Indiana and has a desire to open a shop herself. When the opportunity arose, she took it. You can already see the popcorn machines in the south window, beckoning everybody to come in and try. She plans to offer both savory, ranch, Cajun, creamy, dill, garlic, parmesan, buffalo blue cheese, and sweet options. Butterfinger, chocolate espresso, puppy chow, funfetti, fruit, caramel, and chocolate, etc. One of the quite interesting flavor options she's excited to offer is called Amish Crack, a take on famous cinnamon powdered donut at Shipshawana Bakery called the Rise and Shine Roll, which is a combination of caramel, cinnamon, and powdered sugar. Customers' taste buds are sure to find a combination that pleases and be taken in by the surrounding aroma of popcorn being popped, cooked, and tumbled in flavors. You'll even be able to see the process with your own eyes in a window into the kitchen. Flavors of the month will be also offered. Eventually, Treva will also plans to add nostalgic candy. She also has heard about the popularity of Green Rivers here in Arthur and plans to offer those, as well as other old-fashioned sodas, milkshakes, drumsticks, etc. She understands the rich history of the soda fountain carries with many sweet memories attached and looks forward to being a part of the Arthur Downtown Business District and adding a touch of something new as well. So keep an eye out. Traven looks forward to meeting and serving you, hopefully this week. For more details into the life of the new entrepreneur in town, please read Arthur Through My Eyes next week. The next article, Severe Weather Moves Through the Region, by Jacob Hamm. Several rounds of thunderstorms moved through central Illinois and Douglas County on Wednesday. According to the storm reports obtained by the National Weather Service office in Lincoln, between 1 and 3 inches of rain fell in various parts of Douglas County. Hailstones up to 3 inches in diameter fell around the Arthur area, and hail up to 1.75 inches in diameter fell in Tuscola. Arcola also saw a large hail. In addition to hail and flooding, several damaging wind events and a tornado were reported in Coles County. The rating of the reported tornado has not been confirmed yet as of Thursday's meeting due to potential damage being surveyed. A funnel cloud was also reported 3 miles northeast of Villa Grove in Champaign County. Tyler Harvey of the Moultrie Douglas Farm Bureau said that large amounts of rainfall in a short amount of time can be problematic for farmers and crops. Too much rain is very dependent on a few factors. Some of the factors include how much rain has the location received recently and what type of soil it has. Is there field drainage and other factors, Harvey said. As of Thursday afternoon, there were no reported power outages in Douglas County, according to the Amherst outage map. There were reports of power outages in parts of the county on Wednesday. Power was still restored in other areas of the region. In the next article, Horse Progress Days returns July 3rd through 4th by Trudy Feyreisen. The Laverne Yoder Farm, located at 252 North County Road 575 East in Arcola, hosts 32nd annual Horse Progress Days Friday, July 3rd and Saturday, July 4th. Children under 12 are free when accompanied by an adult. The event opens with a hearty homemade breakfast buffet from 6 to 10 a.m., followed by field demonstrations and seminars throughout the day. The purpose of the Horse Progress Days is to inspire innovative agriculture on the family farm, and their mission statement is to provide education and resources for small-scale sustainable agriculture and demonstrate horse-drawn equipment innovations. In 2021, the event started featuring homesteading practices, a farming method for 40 to 100 acres that can survive without large machinery. Interest in offerings in the area continue to grow every year, along with training in sustainable farming techniques, learning safe ways to prepare and preserve raw ingredients, raising one's own meat, and gardening. They're excited this year to have nationally known speaker, holistic farmer Joe Salatin of Polyface Farm, who advocates stewardship of the land, connecting with local growers, becoming self-sufficient in food provision, and building soil health. Both Amish and non-Amish attendees can glean much information on how to approach agricultural life. Although the event is known for highlighting horse-drawn equipment demonstrations, many of them innovative tillage equipment from locally owned ARC manufacturing can be used with small tractors as well. Some of the equipment made by them will be seen and demonstrated for the first time, including pull-type combines for harvesting grain and newer hay equipment that can be put together by square bales without having to handle by hand. Another first will be live demonstrations of horse-powered logging by V-cross logging, including how to manually go up trees, trim the top down before it falls, and how to safely drop trees. Seminars are also offered on animal welfare, including dental work, shoeing, and training of horses, as well as caring for animals in general. Over 300 vendors will be attendance at the event. They include everything from farm and ranch items to equipment manufacturers, harness shops, pallet and solar distribution companies. There are also several vendors whose products will be of more interest to the homemaker, including wellness companies, dishes, window coverings, home and health products. There's also a lot to offer the homemaker with seminars, including cut your own flowers, choosing a joy in motherhood, benefits of A2A2 milk, benefits of fermenting foods, bread baking, quilting, macrame, one-on, hands-on sewing training, making angel food cake, bread baking, and more. Local Miller Smokehouse will be educating the butchering process and how to smoke meats. Haying demonstrations are on the schedule, along with much-anticipated breed presentations at the end of the day. The breed presentation last year is the icing on the cake. There are close to 20 different breeds that will be presented each day. Breeds include Dutch Harness, Belgian, Percheron, Haffinger, Draft Ponies, Clydesdales, Morgans, Hackneys, Shetlands, Miniature Horses, Frisians, Quarter Horse, Race Ponies, Gypsy Vanners, Mini Gypsy Vanners, and Tennessee Walkers. The last three are less well-known, and several area horse shows will entertain those in attendance. And that is all the time we have for this week. This is Chris Yerke saying goodbye, and see you again next week.